In this season of the year, I have had some problems dissecting my calendar. It seems that we just get through with Thanksgiving and we're at Christmas. And by the time we celebrate Christmas, we're in a new year. And in reading the Bible, I have come to a text which takes all three seasons and puts them in one verse. Now, we can't quite get them all in one month, but we can get them all in one verse. And I want to use the 15th verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 9 to preach for a few minutes this morning on a doxology for the season. Now, a doxology is an outburst of praise. And this text includes all three phases of the season. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God, there's your thanksgiving, for His unspeakable gift, there's Christmas. I said, well, where's the rest of it, Brother Tom? If you experience and receive His unspeakable gift, you'll enter into a brand new year in your life. And so I want to use this text this morning to magnify this outburst of praise, this overflow of gratitude from the Apostle Paul's heart. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Now, let's begin with this doxology for the Thanksgiving season. Thanks be unto God. I want us to examine that word thanks for just a moment, to define the word, to look at the definition of the word is somewhat startling. I have always been of the persuasion that when one says thanks, that it is just another way of expressing gratitude. But the word here goes a step further than that. It's the same word that is rendered grace up in verse number 8. Look at verse number 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. And now in the last verse of this chapter, Paul says, thanks or grace be unto God. Someone says, now hold it, Brother Tom, that doesn't even sound right. Well, true thanksgiving never has sounded right. There's more to thanksgiving than turkey and homecomings and get-togethers. Real thanksgiving is showing favor or grace unto Him who has shown favor unto us. Now, this word grace indicates that God has poured out His favor. He has been kind unto us, charitable unto us. Now, Paul says, because God has been gracious unto us, we want to manifest grace unto Him. Favor unto His favor, or grace unto His grace. Thanks for His thanks. I can't quite grasp that the way I want to, but I say to you that genuine thanksgiving is nothing more than a response to God for His response to us. It is an overflow of kindness to God for His kindness to us. Thanks be unto God. And so we've looked at the definition of thanks. Let's look at the direction of thanks. Now, thanksgiving, as we know it, has become somewhat of a routine type performance. to say thank you to everybody. The business world says thank you for your business. Thank you for helping us be number one in the area. Thank you for your consideration of us. Not only does the business world use the Thanksgiving season to sort of generate a new consideration for their product or for their input into the society, but all forms of life itself seems to jump on the bandwagon. The hospital says, thank you for using us. I've even received a thank you note from a dentist. Thank you for coming to see us. The churches sometimes send out thank yous. Thank you for visiting us. Thank you for coming to see us. I have been guilty in the Thanksgiving season of sending out a brief thank you to all the churches who have allowed me to be in their midst over the past year. But the real essence of Thanksgiving is not one human saying thanks to another human, but it is God's people saying thanks to God Himself. Real Thanksgiving should not stop with our clientele or with the folks who help us in our role of life. But real thanks should go beyond personnel and people and go beyond the clouds and reach even unto God Himself. Thanks be unto God. And really, this doesn't seem the right time for Paul to say this, but it's a doxology. It's an overflow. He has been talking about giving of all things. He's been talking about more than tithes. He's been talking about offerings. And he's told us in verse number 6 that we are to sow bountifully if we expect to reap bountifully. And he tells us in verse number 7 that God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, I know God loves us in Christ, but there seems to be another form, another unveiling of God's love to those who give cheerfully. And that word cheerfully is our word hilariously. Every time I come to this word, God loveth a cheerful, hilarious giver. I think of a laughing hyena. And the laughing hyena can't quit laughing. It's just part of his nature. And here God is saying through the apostle, give and give and keep on giving, not out of grudging the opportunity or out of necessity, but because it's part of your new nature to give as unto God. And after Paul gives this lengthy discourse on giving, he then stops and says, hey, Let's just have a doxology of praise. And he says with an overflowing heart, thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. So this doxology could be a doxology for the Thanksgiving season. We learn the definition of thanks. We learn the direction of thanks. I want you to notice, secondly, from this text, we have a doxology for the season, for the Thanksgiving season. Thanks be unto God. But we also have a doxology for the Christmas season. Now, everybody, even the children, have become aware that much of Christmas in America is hoopla. It is nothing more than an over-exaggerated opportunity for the merchant men to get their percentage up at the end of the year. But oh, there's much more to this season than greed and selfishness. There is the heartbeat of the Christmas message, the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Somebody said, oh, he's another preacher that's trying to play down Christmas time. Oh, no. I'd like to play it up. But I'd like to play it up biblically and scripturally. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. And may I say, that is the heartbeat of the Christmas season. So look at this emphasis. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now, the word gift here is not the every occurrence word for gift. Here, it seems that Paul has more in mind than just a gift or a manifestation of God's kindness. Rather, he must be pointing us to God's supreme gift, even the gift of his Son. This is the same gift that he spake of in chapter 8 and verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now, I'm interested in a twofold lesson from this phrase, unspeakable gift. What kind of gift is that? An unspeakable gift. Well, the word unspeakable, as it is used two or three times in the New Testament, does not mean that it cannot be spoken. But rather, it means that it cannot be expressed by human tongue and voice alone. Maybe a word that we would identify with here a little better is the word undescribable. Thanks be unto God for his undescribable gift. A gift that it is impossible to properly express through human vocabulary. Jesus is beyond description. Jesus is beyond human expression. He is the God-man who came to deliver man from sin and connect man to God. And so he is talking about an undescribable gift. Now, often, we put gifts in wrapping paper to disguise them. My youngest daughter has already been shaking a box. And I have said, honey, don't shake the box. Oh, I'm not shaking it, Daddy. I'm just leaning it a little bit. She's trying to figure out what is behind the disguise of the wrapping paper and the ribbon and the bow. Boy, she's got her heart on figuring that out. Of course, don't get upset at her. Some of your children have already plundered through some closets and looked under beds and the most likely places had to locate some Christmas gift. But I say to you, we hide the gift purposefully so that the recipient will be the more honored or the more blessed by what is given and what is received on their part. But God is not trying to disguise his gift. In fact, God wrapped his gift in a very perceivable way. He wrapped him in human flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And John said, we beheld his glory. The glory. He said, we weren't in the dark. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. full of grace and truth. God is not trying to disguise his gift, but I will say this, his gift is so blessed and so wonderful and so awesome that it's going to be more than an open mouth of awe when you really find out the bigness and the wonder that is in Jesus Christ. I say to you, he is the indescribable gift of God. No vocabulary is big enough to present him properly. No knowledge is vast enough to understand him completely. No love is ardent enough to manifest him affectionately. I say to you, we are limited as we come to this gift that is from God, even the Lord Jesus. But may I point out, this gift is not only an indescribable gift, it is an undeserved gift. Well, that's the real emphasis of giving, is it not? This whole chapter on giving is on the basis of love to God. And not because we have to give. Oh, well, we're going to take up another offering, I guess. No, it's not that.
That's right,
brother. Well, I tell you, I wish somehow we could put more things in the budget and quit having to pass the plates so much. But what good is a budget if nothing is coming in the plates? I'm saying that Paul has talked about an overflow of giving, not something that you felt like you had to do, but something you wanted to do. And that's what a gift is it not? Sharing something that you want to share with another. I know we have a lot of this merit-type giving, for instance. You invited me over for pinto beans and cornbread and a little onion on the side. And so I feel a little bad about it. And so I ask you to come over and we'll fix fried chicken for you. Or you went somewhere with me shopping last week. So when you invite, I'll go with them then. I'll go. I've got too many things going, really, but I don't want to offend them and I don't want to hurt them. Or you bought something over at my store, so I better come by your store during this busy season and wave at you when I pass by the office to let you know that I'm paying you back. Isn't that the way we operate? Don't look at me like that. These Tennessee folks are just like us Western North Carolina folks. You're crooked as a barrel of snakes. But real giving is giving because you want to do it. Some of you have already picked out gifts for loved ones. You may have even purchased gifts for loved ones. Why did you get that gift? Oh, some of you, you got it because you couldn't think of anything else to get. And so, you know, well, I know I'm not going to get any more bedroom slippers because she's got the last 2 years' bedroom slippers still under the Chester drawers. And those towels we gave year before last, I've never even seen them out. I don't believe they've ever even used them. They still have those holy shredded looking ones in the bathroom. So you try to rack your brain and come up with something that maybe they would like. God deliver us. We're so blessed in this country. We can't even appreciate what we have. Nevertheless, what we're receiving. But I say to you, brother, real giving is just giving. Amen. Not to receive, but giving to be kind. That's what God has done. Yeah. thanks be unto God for his unspeakable, his undescribable, his unexpressible gift, or his undeserved favor. Not that I've done something that God says, all right, that group over there in that part of the world, their forefathers were good people and helped these others, and so I'm going to give my son to save them. No! He did it knowing that we had spit in his face, knowing that we had used his name in vain, knowing that we had no real hunger for him. We wanted our way instead of God's way, and he gave Jesus anyhow. An undeserved gift, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul said, here's a doxology for the season. A doxology for the Thanksgiving season. Thanks be unto God. A doxology for the Christmas season. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Brother, God is a great giver. For God so loved the world that he gave, no strings attached, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. We ought to, but if we believe in him, we will not perish, but rather have everlasting life. I'd like to say finally this morning, this doxology for the season not only fits the Thanksgiving season, thanks be unto God. And it not only fits the Christmas season for his unspeakable gift, but it fits the New Year season. Now, more than likely, the gifts that you receive this Christmas will not change your life. I'm saying more than likely, there are exceptions. I remember a Christmas season that changed my life. A gift that I received 2 weeks before Christmas. That not only might change my life, but save my life. You know what it was? I'm not being spiritual. I'm trying to illustrate a spiritual point. All the other boys around town had Yankee Clipper sleds. All I had was a 49 Chevrolet hood with the ornament taken off. And there were some real dangers to that old hood. Number one, you could not predict where you were going to end up. Number two, if you hit a hard area, it might jar you out because you know how ice would hang on the hood as well as on the ground. So I kept begging, Dad, I want those Yankee Clipper sleds. Dad said, I don't know, son, that old hood, that's pretty good sled, isn't it? I said, well, yes, sir, it's okay, but I can't go down the main street with the other fellas. Some of those roads they mark off for sledding, they don't want my hood over there. I'll tear up the track. All I can do is come down through the garden and over those terraces, and then I have to be careful I'm not going to hit that oak tree. And I sure would like to have a Yankee Clipper sled. Can I have that for Christmas? Well, we'll see, bud. Now, I forgot. I never dreamed Dad would get me a Yankee Clipper sled. But 2.5 weeks before Christmas, we had the awfulest snow you ever seen. And I got me a rope and headed for that hood over yonder on the back side of the hill. And I rode the hood down the garden terraces for several times, and my hands were cold. I came in my grandma's house to warm up at the old heater, the old stove. And while I was in there warming up, My daddy came in, my mama came in. That was unusual, my mama to get out when it's snowing. And dad said, well, how's it going? I said, well, it's really not slick enough to enjoy, but at least it comes down the hill. I said, dad said, boy, it'd be good if you had a sled, wouldn't it? I said, yeah, I could pack me a good runway and come right down the side of the road there. And he said, well, maybe you can get one sometime. And then he went outside. Mama's supposed to entertain me, you know. And when he went outside, it hit me. He's brought Mama down here to keep me from going outside, and he's going to bring a Yankee Clipper sled over here. Well, as I recall, it wasn't a Yankee Clipper. But he had gotten a sled for me for Christmas, and this big snow 2.5 weeks before Christmas was more than enough to bring him to the place of letting me ride that sled. And brother, he got that sled out of the top of the old garage down there below my grandma's house, brought it over there on the porch. Soon as I heard it hit the porch, I knew what it was. And boy, you talking about a mountain boy made glad getting to ride that Yankee Clipper sled. Son, I was glad just to pull it along behind me. It's so much lighter than that other thing I'm having to toy with. But I'm trying to say that not only saved or made my Christmas and changed my life, it may have saved my life and kept me from getting killed on that old car hood. Oh, I'm telling you, that is one gift that definitely changes lives and saves lives every time this gift is received, every time this gift is appropriated and taken as one's very own. This gift changes lives. In fact, it brings you into a new year. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And to receive this gift is to receive a new world of lifestyle. Just like entering a new year is something like entering into a new world. You got a clean slate. 12 new months. You can overcome some of the bitter disappointments of the former 12. Maybe reach goals that you've been wanting to reach in days gone by because you've got a new world, a new year to enter into. Spiritually, to experience Christmas, to experience the gift, the unspeakable gift of God in Christ, is to enter into a new world. I love that old song I sang as a boy at the church there. As the song director would lead us, I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. Oh, I am. Old things have passed away. I got new friends. I've got new desires. Well, one of the struggles I had with coming clean with God was my friends. What will my friends think? Friends. Baloney. What I thought were friends were only casual acquaintances. Once I got right with God, they were like rats leaving a sinking ship. They didn't even want to be around me. Not because I tried to cram gospel tracts down their throats. Not because every time we went to the cafe, I got out on my knees and went to pray at the top of my lungs. No, I didn't try to force salvation on them. I didn't try to make them feel uncomfortable. But some of those same people that I used to think were my friends, when they see me coming down the road, and I wave at everybody. I wave at East Tennessee folks. I just wave. I'll never forget my youngest daughter. We were coming through Georgia years ago and on a country road, and I was just throwing up my hand at everybody, And then we passed the mailbox, and I could read the man's name. I forget what it was. We'll say John Smith. And boy, she said to her mom, she said, "Did that say John Smith?" She said, "I think so." She said, "Daddy, you know everybody, don't you?" Well, I just like to be friendly. In fact, I've learned something. I heard an old preacher say this. You ever said, "They didn't even speak to me." Well, did you speak to them? They don't need it. They won't speak to me. Hey, won't you do it first? I speak to them whether they want me to or not. I get off in these motels sometimes by myself, you know. And by about Thursday, man, I got to come out of that room. I talk to everybody. That's right. Find out how long a maid's been married, what side of town she lives on, how many young'uns they got, what kind of car they drive. I just like to talk. I'm going to tell you, some of that crowd that used to be my so-called friends, when I throw up my hand at them on the highway there in our little old community, it's funny. All of a sudden, they go, "Look, they saw something over there in the woods they need to look at." Huh? Oh, I'm in a new world. Not because I just wanted to get away from everybody, but receiving God's gift put me in a new world. I used to have this in my mind. If I get right with God, I won't even have any friends. I got more friends now than I've got time for. You think I don't have friends? You come around my house about graduation time. Son, I'll show you. I'll let you supply some needs. Oh, God's gift puts us in a new world. Something else about God's gift, it puts us in a new way. I'm not only out of that old world, I'm out of those old ways. There's something in me that keeps pulling me towards heaven. Something keeps pulling me home. Something keeps moving me towards God. I don't want to cuss. That's the way I used to. I'll never forget the first time I said a terrible word after I'd gotten right with God. I thought I was going to die. Because I told the Lord, "You're going to have to change my filthy mouth. You're going to have to do something for me that'll keep me from talking the way I've been talking." And I got in a situation and lost my temper. And I said it. But I didn't enjoy it. Boy, I had to crawl off somewhere and ask God to forgive me. I tell you, there's a new way. There's a new direction. There's a new life in Christ Jesus. Oh, brother, you talk about being fixed up. We've been fixed up. That ought to cause our hearts to overflow. Well, the doxology is similar to this one. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. You know, in most of the churches that I preach in, they no longer sing the doxology as we know it in the hymn book. I think there are reasons for that. One reason, I think, is because a lot of the churches that do sing the doxology do it with that dirgeful organ sound, and it's so lifeless and so what's a good descriptive word? It's so unlike us. And so folks have moved away from that. But I like the words of the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him above, or praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. during this season of the year. May God birth a doxology in our hearts. What have you praised God for of late? What have you been thankful for?
Well, I'll tell you, things looking bad. That news every night sure is discouraging. I tell you, did you read the morning paper? Oh, that's bad.
What have you been thankful for lately?
I sure have been having a hard time. I wish y'all would pray for me. I've really been going through.
What have you thanked God for lately? It seems like we're gifted in the area of whining. What have we thanked God for lately? Paul, right in the middle of this sermon on giving, in the middle of it, he said, excuse me, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. It's about the way I'm feeling right now. Y'all excuse me. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You want me to finish it? Amen. Amen. May God give us a doxology for the season. Would you stand with me, please?